to another session of Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Reflections in the Dark has been a beacon into the darkness since May 2010. We have used as our motto, which is also the motto for SRT, the Supernatural Response Team, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness, instead expose them. That's from Ephesians 5:11. Broadcasting live from the Firefall studio, the only place you can hear us live is Spreaker.com. We're archived here. You can also download the shows. You can give them a little star or heart button, share them. We're also heard on Blog Talk Radio and on iTunes. Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we do something called The Porch. It's an online Bible fellowship, a community where we take a look at the Word of God through an unfiltered perspective, looking at the book of Acts, church. We've had a theme going for the last couple of weeks that will coincide with tonight's show. If you want to support what we do here at Firefall Talk Radio, also support The Porch and SRT, you can go to firefalltalkradio.com or supernaturalresponse.net. And there are ways there to support what we do. If you need to contact us, that's the way to do it. We can be found on Facebook, www.facebook.com/supernaturalresponseteam. Also, Firefall Talk Radio, same setup. Find us on Twitter at Firefall Talk, at SRT612, and Instagram at Supernatural Response. At the moment, hold on. Let's see if I can get Joe. We're having a hard time getting him on the air here. Let's see. That's not going through. Let me let him know that he's not. Anyway, well, he's having technical difficulties. We'll hopefully he'll get that straightened out and get back with us. We've been talking about dangers in the Promised Land. Hold on, he's texting me. He's probably going to have to do a restart. If you've ever dealt with Skype, especially hooking up with Spreaker or Blog Talk, it gets a little squirrely. Some of these people that have the bigger shows and the more money, they have a call-in soundboard. We're not there, and you know, I don't know if we'll ever get there. Not because we can't. It's just a lot of work and not something I can do and then do this, talk with you at the same time. He's restarting. So I will just talk because I don't want to get started and have to bring him in. But, you know, when we first started the show back in May 2010, we pretty much stayed on one focus: supernatural, paranormal, UFOs, Bigfoot, things like that. We'd bring people on, we'd have those conversations. But there's more going on in the world than just that. And in those other things that may delve into social media, may delve into technology or politics or in the news, current events, there's always an element of the fallen. Now, both Joe and I have received comments from people about you guys are fixated on the fallen. What's that all about? Well, if you've said that, you probably don't listen to The Porch, but I've pretty much tied together the fact that everything we deal with, from darkness, from the demonic, from the paranormal, we'll trace back to the fallen angels, the watchers that came down on Mount Hermon in the time of Jared. It always goes back to either Genesis 3 in the garden or Genesis 6 and the time of Noah, the days of Noah. There's just no way to get around that. In fact, I've been rewriting the supernatural battle. I'm in the final pages of the rewrite. And the book is not twice as big, but close. Whereas last time you were about 298 pages, we're about 200 pages more. And I've laid out everything about the supernatural battle, supernatural warfare. I've gone deeper into certain areas. And no matter what you do, whether you're dealing with history or archaeology, it always traces back to an answer that in the New Age, oh, it's the Ascended Masters, or it's extraterrestrials, or it's the aliens or the ancients, whatever. But I have a simpler answer, an answer that I can verify not just through the Bible, but through archaeology and other ancillary teachings. The hands of the fallen are on almost everything we do, and we're living in a time right now where it just seems like you can't turn around without getting a whiff of them, and it's not a pleasant. You really want to be, what's the word? You don't want to be downwind. I mean, you want to be out of the smell of it. In New York, we used to call that smell the Staten Island landfill. That was where they dumped a lot of the waste that got gathered. It's not a good smell, and you get that smell of the fallen in politics and social media. You get it in what's going on today in every aspect with Hollywood. You just see it if you're willing to look. If you're not willing to look, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I really don't at this point. And I lost my train of thought here. Joe is going crazy. Can't seem to get back on. Boy, what? Oh, wait. I am hearing something. I heard a noise. Let's see if we can get him back. Are you there, Joe?
Can you hear me? I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. It's Joe Sojourn, everybody. Where's the applause button? I need to find the applause button.
Oh, man. Listen, let me just tell you what happened really quick, because you're going to find this very comical. So, obviously, you know, I had gotten a new phone.
Right.
So I had my Skype, everything all set. I'm trying to clock, you know, get in. I can't get in. And then it tells me that the settings where it says the mic, I didn't have any of that settings, because when I sunk everything up to the phone, it copied over the Skype, but it didn't copy over everything else. So I had to go in there. I had to allow the microphone to come on. I had to do all this stuff. And then as soon as I got in, and this is the funny part, as soon as I got in, I triggered the microphone. Everything is fine. You're on the line. So I'm here. I'm happy.
He's happy, everybody.
I'm so happy. Like, how am I going to get on here? I says, well, maybe I can go on the laptop. I says, maybe the laptop will work, but then I don't know how much time I'm going to have to do that. I says, so it worked. It's good to be here.
That is the one disadvantage to Spreaker, whereas with Blog Talk, I could call you directly from the switchboard. So that is the one downside. Well, hey, Joe, how are you?
I'm doing good, and I'm happy to be here. You know, I was looking forward to it all day. I'm like, you know what, I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to go on the radio and have a good time, and I'm doing good. And I'm gonna have to have the listening audience welcome me, because I'm the one that's late. But
yeah.
Thank you guys for being patient, and I'm here, and all is well. And here we are.
Here we are, talking about dangers in the Promised Land, and you know, you just can't talk about dangers. Danger, Will Robinson. You got to have a special effect. And
that was good. Danger, Will Robinson. Hey, we're not even here together for a minute. We laughed.
There you go. I was going to introduce you with that. It would have been worse. So, you know, this is just a lot of weirdness in the world today. Earthquakes, the sixes and the sevens are pinging. And I mentioned the other night, I think it was on the Bible study, that my earthquake app was going off all night. Well, it's been going off all day since this morning, the 7-3 in Iran, and six is here and six is there. And that guy on the internet that does the whole earthquake thing, talking about the, you know, they're shifting, something's happening. And there's no doubt there's something happening, and earthquakes are always happening. But there's just a weird feeling. For the last couple of weeks, as I've gotten back into the swing of things spiritually and supernaturally, it's been both good and bad, and it's just been a lot of weirdness. I don't know if anybody else out there is experiencing it yet, but it's today. Maybe it's because it's fall and it's a little darker and it's getting darker sooner, but there's just, I can't explain it. Maybe I'm just heightened to it, sensitive to it because of the studying I've been doing of late. What do you think on that?
Well, I think that you're right. I think that you've been heightened. I feel the same way in certain things now. I feel more heightened about things. And here's the other thing that's been happening, too. I've been so in tune and locked in of everything that has been going on spiritually and observing things from through different eyes. And it's not that we never did that before, but it just seems that we're probably just more hyper-focused, or at least I'm more hyper-focused on it. But what I'm having is that it's coming to the point now that if I deviate from anything spiritual, when I start to do something else, and you can maybe answer this for me or elaborate on it, when I do something that's outside of the spirituality part of things, I almost feel like I almost feel guilty of doing it, because I'm like, if I'm doing this and my eyes are focusing on this, then I'm taking my mind eyes off the spiritual part. So it's been hard to juggle both. I'm like, if I do this for too long, that's 20 minutes or a half hour longer or less that I can give to paying attention on what's going on to the end times. And that's been my struggle throughout the whole week. It's like, I can't get to it quick enough because I feel that there's something happening that just goes beyond, you know, the norm. And we've talked about it before. Granted, there's going to be earthquakes in the world and they're going to be disasters and things that happen. But I can't help but think that everything that's going on right now, I look at it as there's a spiritual implication behind it. It's not just a fluke. It's not something that is just happening. It's all associated with the supernatural.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, especially for me. Between, you know, we shot the documentary, I started to work on it, then I went to rewriting the book, or finishing the rewrite, and working on things. So my head's been totally locked into that mindset, so much so that the rest of the world is an intrusion. I don't enjoy watching TV. I find it's a waste of my time, and truthfully, with the garbage that's on there, it is. But shows that I used to enjoy, I'm sitting there going, "Wow, this is really bad. Why am I doing this?" It just seems like I want to go back to this. I want to stay focused right on this, and the real world becomes an intrusion into that. But how do you can't get away from it? You know, especially with what we do, we're always focused on. What's the enemy doing? You know, what are we doing in response to it? You know, like I said, Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Well, the rest of that is, it's shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them, for the light makes everything visible. And that's what the show is about, shining the light. But there's two things about that. First of all, you have to be looking at that darkness and shining the light on it, which means you're taking it in. Maybe you're feeling it, you're smelling it, you're seeing it, or whatever. And then sometimes we get sent into it. So there's no way to escape the sludge of it, if that's a good word. You know, the people that first responders, yes, they're heroic, but they deal with the nasty stuff. And that's what this feels like sometimes.
Of course it does. And you know, here's my thought. After we came back from Atchison, I feel the same way. I can't do this quick enough as far as the time that I have. And you know, you have other lives and, you know, things that you have to do. And I mean, it's, you know, it's just life to survive. You got the survival aspect. But it's almost like the desire and that hunger, and it's something for me that I hadn't felt in a long time, like I've probably been like this in the past few months, that I just can't get to it quick enough every day. And that's scary to me. And why I say that, and, you know, and I'm sure you feel the same way in certain ways as well. What scares me is this world has become so dark in a lot of the things that we're reading and seeing on the news, that I wonder if we're in this mindset right now because the end is around the corner.
No doubt about that.
It's the only thing that I can say, and that's the scary part, because it's scary for those who aren't there yet or haven't discovered it and still taking it for granted, or still, you know, not spiritual, don't have the Lord. I mean, like, you just wonder, it's scary if nobody's prepared for this, and it's like, we need more time. That's the whole key. And how do you do that? Because it's just been really dark. I mean, you've seen some of the stuff in the news now that, you know, what mothers are doing with their kids. It's almost like repetitious how they're all killing their children. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, what would even compel you to do that? You can't even rationalize that on a mentally, you can't even just say, hey, look, I just snapped. I don't know what made me do that. You still had to stop to think those things through before you did it. And that's why I can't say that that's a mental issue. I think that is just a demonic thing.
It's gotta be.
And it has to be. It just has to be. You don't think like that.
No. But everything you see going on, you know, we've been talking about that on the porch about, you know, going into the promised land. Oh, everybody wants to live in the promised land. Everybody wants the land flowing with milk and honey. They want the blessing. They forget that the children of Israel had to go through land of giants, had to go through Nephilim to get into a land with bigger Nephilim that was ruled by them, that the fallen had set up. That all these bizarre things were going on, child sacrifices to Moloch in the fire, witchcraft, necromancy, all these things that we've been told not to do, and for good reason. And if you don't understand that, then you need to listen to the last three sessions of the porch. But when you think about what was going on in that day, and then you hear the stories for today, I mean, the Canaanites, they were addicted to the worship of the gods. They worshiped Baal and all these other smaller gods. Their temple worship included sexual activity, orgies, debauchery, and then, of course, the human sacrifice. Oh, that's science fiction. That's mythology. That's not real. Really? Are you paying attention? You turn on the news of, like you said, a mother killing the child, or murder, suicide, whole family gets wiped out, or they find dismembered torsos and bodies, or some girl's been kidnapped, and when they were done with her, they fed her to alligators, and it just goes on, and you just think, wow, what is it? I get social media and the availability of the internet is bringing it out to the open, but it's just nonstop. I mean, like I sent you that story the other day. And I'll preface it. You know, every year, we didn't do it this year, we talked about the Burning Man Festival. 70,000 people show up in the desert outside Nevada, and they just basically go on a long party of, drunkenness, nakedness, orgies, everything. It started back in 1986 in San Francisco. It was a bonfire ritual for the summer solstice. But now it's like become this humongous yearly event where, whether it's artists or, you know, families or couples or CEOs like Elon Musk and Amazon's Jeff Bezos, Google's Larry Page, Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook, they go there and they live the rebellious lifestyle. They fly in on their jets to this airport, and then they do what they do. of, you know, they dance around bizarre sculptures and they wear even more bizarre outfits. And then there's the ever popular Orgy Dome. And now that's 70,000 people, including 3,000 rich enough to fly their own private planes, going to a place that has a human petting zoo, and the first time is greeted by a group naked hug. And we're saying, really? That's Canaan, dude. I was thinking about that today as I was reading this before I get to the real story. Is that's Canaan. That's the land of the fallen. That's the debauchery that the children of Israel were warned about. And it's celebrated.
Well, you know, we talked about the energy, that demonic energy. And, you know, obviously with blood and the sacrifice and the stuff that we were talking about, you know, is, you know, going back to Cain and going back to Moloch, and you think of the sacrifices and you always think that it has to do with a murder, you know, or the shedding of blood, which it does. And we know that, but you just touched upon something that I think is kind of fallen through the cracks because sexuality has been taken so, you know, lightly now. It's no big deal. You know, everybody's having sex. It's not that big hush hush thing that you know, were used to back in, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But that stuff is still creating that demonic energy.
Absolutely.
That's still bringing them in. That's still kind of like a sacrifice, I would think. Wouldn't it be, Richard?
It's a ritual. There's no doubt about it, whether it's consensual. And I'm sorry, I don't understand how a child can consent to something they really don't understand, especially when they've been put into a situation where they've been manipulated and forced to be there. So it is a form of that ritualistic behavior. You know, we went from the sexual revolution of the 60s to now we're bipolar. We're sexually revulsed by one set of stories, but then you read the other set of stories of, you know, Cosmopolitan doing articles on incest and polygamy and all this stuff, and you're going, all right, wait a second here. Which one am I supposed to be offended by? Am I supposed to be offended that you created an industry where women are objectified, and now you're offended that that didn't turn out well? I'm confused. You lionize Hugh Hefner when he dies, when in fact, in the 60s through Playboy, he made it acceptable to objectify and lust after a woman, which we know is not healthy. And so we're extremely spiritually bipolar, and it's all dependent upon what agenda does the fallen have. And they don't care about morality. One of the pictures I sent you from this year's Burning Man was somebody had made a sign, if we don't sin, then Jesus died for nothing, mocking his death on the cross and doing all that stuff. I'm going, so why is it okay to mock Christians and people that believe in Jesus, but we can't say anything about what you do? We are in such a mess right now, and it's only going to get worse. We are on the cusp. We're in the onset of the days of Noah. We're not there yet, but boy, we're seriously close.
You know, that's the other thing. So everybody, you know, if you go to take the spirituality out of the equation for a second, as far as us, put us out there, and we're just interviewing people. And you know, I understand everybody has a different belief system. Not everybody believes in God. Not everybody believes in Jesus. And everybody follows their own system. It's amazing to me that every other belief can be offended by what Christianity is and brings. But yet when we want to combat in backwards and say, hey, listen, you know, what about us?
Yeah.
Why is that so taboo? And that's what made me think.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for me, my little light bulb moment was, it's taboo, and it's because it's so threatening. And why is it so threatening? Because you know that somewhere that the truth that's where the truth lies. So I'm starting to realize that the enemy has onslaughted us in so many different ways because he's scared. It has to be.
Well, you got to realize what mindset would be offended by what we believe. And it traces back to, like I said, while we were waiting for you to come on, Genesis 3 in the garden or Genesis 6 on Mount Hermon, the fallen. It traces back to the demonic. It traces back to darkness doesn't want light. But yet, here we are, 2017, this past weekend, everybody else can have their events, but no, our events are too offensive. Take that cross down. Take that sign down. Don't wear that T-shirt. Turn it inside out. Can't come on TV wearing it. But then you have in the National Mall this week in Washington, D.C., they had something called Catharsis on the Mall, where they brought a section of the Burning Man event to be done on the Mall in front of the Washington Monument. And so on Thursday afternoon, November 9th, they set up this thing, the Nataraja, which I'll explain what that is in a moment, which is basically this 70-foot-long metal dragon on wheels. It's a stage, anyway. Here's the stage. The stage is 70-foot-long metal dragon on wheels. They built a wooden temple that they would burn, but the Nataraja is Hindu god Shiva doing the cosmic dance, because the Nataraja means lord of the dance. So it's a sculpture symbolic of Shiva as the lord of dance and dramatic arts. And he's holding fire in the left hand, which is behind him. The right hand, which out in front, is wrapped in a snake. He's standing surrounded by a ring of flames on a lotus pedestal with his left leg in the air, balancing on a demon who's a dwarf who symbolizes ignorance. Well, wait a second. Why is it that they can do that, but I can't, you know, put up a cross, or I can't do all these other things, but we can have a 3-day event of debauchery and seminars and fire rituals, and, you know, this whole 3-day event took a section of the Burning Man Festival, put it at the foot of the Washington Monument from Friday to Sunday night. It's probably ending now. And have this raucous element, and that metal dragon, by the way, the stage, this is where it gets really freaky. The metal dragon is known as Abraxas. Well, Abraxas is a part of the Burning Man events, and basically Abraxas, depending upon who claims it, is either an Egyptian god or a demon. It's considered to be an archon, a ruler of 365 heavens, and he represents 365 numbers. He is the power above all. He's the first principle. The Catholic Church branded him as a pagan god and as a demon, but basically what he is, he's part Gnostic, part Kabbalah, part Persian, Egyptian, Grecian, and its symbol is a serpent in an oval form. Well, that stage, that dragon, is the dragon. And he just had a party at the Washington Monument this weekend.
Wow.
And they're going to end it all by burning down the wooden temple, where people have a catharsis, where they leave notes and pictures and things they want burned out of their life. But the event coordinator admitted it. They did it so that it would face the White House as an in-your-face to this administration. So we know what they were burning. We know what they were thinking. This is one massive ritual at the Washington Monument, which is in and of itself a pagan obelisk, in a town that's been designed by the Masons in accordance with the ley lines of the town. So give me a break here.
So is that an Egyptian god?
Abraxas? Is that... Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is claimed by... I've heard of him. I've heard of him. It's something I've heard before. I did a bunch of research on it. He's a common part of the Burning Man. Like I said, he's claimed by the Egyptians, the Persians. He's both a pagan god and a demon. He's an archon, which means he's a ruler, which puts him up in the prince category. If he's not Satan, then he's somewhere just one level down.
Yeah, that's interesting on that one. Now,
Well, let me drop this bomb on you.
Go ahead.
The group that promoted him in the second century, a group of heretics called the Basilidians, claimed that Abraxas was truly the Messiah and that Jesus Christ was a benevolent ghost sent to earth by Abraxas himself.
Wow.
Well, I've heard that nonsense before, and it always traces back to the Ascended Masters, the ancient aliens, all of these, Jesus of Nazareth was a Christ conscience. He wasn't the Christ. Well, he is the Messiah. And anytime you want to stand toe-to-toe and have that conversation, I'm ready. But the point is that this massive event, which is just like a subsection of the huge event that just took place in September. So think about that for a minute. The energy that took place in the Black Desert outside of Nevada, 100 miles outside, yeah. That week-long orgy, that energy, that darkness, they took that energy and brought it to the Washington Monument.
Wow. And now, let me ask you this. These things that have been happening, you know, and has it always been going on like this over the past 10, 15, 20 years, or is it just more profound now? Is what I'm saying is
no. Like, I think what it is, and just to keep right on that question, it's always been going on. It's just been hidden. Okay. Now they don't care if we know.
So it's not new revelation as far as what they're learning. They've been doing this. They've masked it. It's been hidden because we didn't have the internet and all those means and those sources and the social media like we do now. If they've been able to conceal it. And now it's just wide in the open because they don't care anymore. Have they hit a certain level? How we're preparing ourselves to up our game and what's happening spiritually, you know, from our perspective, are they amping up from their perspective? So do they have a proposed, sought out counterattack on us at this point?
Here's what I think they do from my experience in dealing with both the New Age and the occult. They are not organized. They are a network working together so that if one gets exposed and gets in trouble or gets compromised, they just cut it out of the net and sew the net up behind them. Kind of like Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid thing. But before he did that, he was like one of the top gods of the New Age world. He was counterculture. He was the new up-and-coming way of having church. And then the minute he did the Kool-Aid thing, they just kind of cut him out and never mentioned him again. So it's organized in that regard. But if you think about this, 10 years is exactly right. 2007 is when we started the show. 2010 we started the show. 2007 we started SRT. That was the same year that everything shifted supernaturally. I talk about that in the book. That was the same year that the Lord gave me the word that the enemy had been hiding generals of evil that no one had ever seen before, and they were out and about. The Lord said to me, the fallen, meaning the watchers, are about to wake up. All of that stuff happened 10 years ago, and we've watched it take off. And we've tried to talk about it. We've tried to stay in front of it here on the show and in what we do, and there are others that do it as well. But we tend to keep the spotlight on them. And so now you see it, you can't even keep up with the stories. I mean, when you think of Burning Man, most people don't even know. They see a little bit on the news. They see weird people dancing. They don't know it's 70,000 people having a massive party. They don't know that they have something called the Orgy Dome, where 9,000 people over the course of a week will get involved with some of the most debased, depraved things that you can't even talk about. Cosmopolitan did stories on people that visited the Burning Man's Orgy Dome. I can't repeat the stories, otherwise I'd have to put an adult rating on this. Anything goes. Matter of fact, the concept is group sex is encouraged, and that if you are old-fashioned and into monogamy, you don't belong there. You're simply selfish. They encourage nudity, especially by the women. the effigies, the vehicles, the outfits. If you go online, I was looking at some of the pictures today to get some information and the stories, and I'm thinking, wow, social media, that was on Instagram. That means everybody who's ever known that girl or who knows that couple now knows what they do. And you're like, okay, how is that normal? And I know some people say, "Oh, Richard, you're old-fashioned. You know, you don't get it." No, I do get it. Believe me, I grew up in the '60s. I get it. That nothing good came from it. And here we are celebrating it in a 3-day event on the lawn off in front of the Washington Monument. But when you think about the group sex, the free sex, everything goes. Monogamy's not there. But then they get offended. You know, this is what I mean about the spiritual bipolar nature of it. Hollywood's in the midst of a scandal of, if you looked at the girl wrong, it was sexual assault. If you made a pass or said an off-color joke, it was a sexual assault. But then you look at the movies they produce and these same girls act in, and you're going, but wait a second, aren't you promoting that mindset? Aren't you promoting that spirituality, but now you're offended by it? What? I mean, this is, again, all I can see is what the land of Canaan must have been like for the children of Israel as they entered it.
Absolutely. And the question that I'm going to ask you on this one, on when you talk about an orgy in a dome, I mean, and you're right, some of the explicit stuff, but they're in, so who's ever there can partake in this. There's no selected ones. It doesn't matter. It's that's what that's all about. So I guess what I'm saying on a spiritual aspect and opening doors, and like you said, you know, the sacrificing of the body and giving yourself up, is that accepted on this? I guess, are they doing that?
Your mind is blown. I can hear it. Your mind
right.
Went.
Right. I mean, are they accepting that as part
of
the spirituality of it?
Do they even know that 9,000 people went into that tent this year and willingly partook of the transference of spirits? Whether you engaged or not, you were there by agreement. And that just hit me as you were talking. I saw that number and then I heard in my head, 9,000 people willingly engaged in the transference of spirits, and then they took those spirits back with them wherever they went. And these are husband and wives, boyfriend and girlfriends, groups that came there together that suddenly took their friendship to another level. And like I said, I can't even give you a glimpse of it because it would take it into softcore porn when these people described what they participate. Once you get through that door, once you agree to be in there, I mean, you can't be forced upon, you can't be raped, but essentially, you are encouraged not to say no. That's just, you know what the other thing that is, because of the way this dome is made? That's ritual sexual activity, like entire Jezebel's father was the high priest, and part of the worship of Ishtar and Ashtaroth was temple prostitutes, gay, straight, and all. So, and that's the other thing. There is no main sexuality. Whatever goes, whatever you want to do, it's here. You can buy toys, and they have massive vending areas for all of that. This is just one giant Canaan. I saw it today, maybe because I'm doing so much research on that. I saw the site, I saw the symbolism, I saw what they're doing, and I was thinking it probably wouldn't be smart, but it would be really interesting for SRT to go in undercover to buy a plot, not participate, but when the sun goes down, to just walk around and get evidence. See what spirit orbs are there, see what EVPs are there late at night when nobody's talking. Just to get a sense of the demonic nature of, but I don't know how you get away with that without the enemy ratting you out. But that's what it is. The Burning Man thing, and now what they brought with them to the Washington Monument, is it's Canaan.
Yeah, that just blew me, because I just got this vision and I'm like, wow. So just another way to open doors, but yet do it in a way that it's acceptance. Sure. Amongst the times that we live in. So,
and then those 70,000 people,
you're doing,
right,
in opening.
And those 70,000 people are taking it back to wherever they are from all over the world.
Right. That's what it is. It's like a plague. It's like right. Everybody, it's just transferring spirits,
yes,
throughout the whole world. Wow. Right. That's just.
Right. There's one picture I saw where, you know, it's really hot and you have to walk a lot, and there's a communal rest area. And I'm thinking, these people are about a foot away from each other. Some are provocatively dressed, some not. I was thinking from an SRT perspective, I wonder what spirits are in this area right now. And it was daytime. I can't even imagine. When you see the pictures of the debauchery at night and the fires and the stuff that's going on, and you look into the eyes of the people in the photos, you know that the enemy has figured out a way, whether it's Burning Man, whether it's at the, you know, the catharsis at the mall, whether it's some of these clubs. I mean, I'm from New York in the 70s when they had that building, Plato's Retreat, this apartment building that at the bottom was an in-ground pool that was Plato's Retreat, where once you got through the door, anything went. I knew people that went there, and they would tell me. And I was like, why? Why would you do that? What makes you want to expose yourself to all of that? And oh, the excitement and the freedom. Well, how is that freedom? Because, and now you're in bondage. Now, you know, it's just, for me, when I look at this, you know, like we started this conversation, when I look at this from the perspective of natural, social, spiritual, and supernatural, when I look at the whole dynamic of it, your mind gets blown. But the bigger picture is that the mind is blown by the fact that it's acceptable. It's encouraged. The event gets bigger every year.
Well, I mean, at this point, you got to wonder, well, look at it this way. Everything that's happened over the past few months, dealing with the disasters, the earthquakes, what's happening with the murders, the bloodshed, this now, all these things that are gearing up. We always talk about it right around this time anyway, as we're going to the end of 2017. What does 2018 bring to the plate for the fallen? What is their entrance? Now, I remember you saying probably, I don't know if it was last season, last year, you were talking about the fallen, coming on the scene and making themselves.
Yeah, I said
known
it was their coming out party, right? It was their
coming out
party.
Do you feel that their coming out party has been, or is this kind of like the warm up, and they're going to come out? Do they come out
have
in 2018?
Well, you've played big gigs. There's always opening acts before the main attraction shows up.
Correct.
There's always the opening acts. There's always the entertainment. There's the build up to the excitement of when the stars come out on stage. That's what I see. This is their coming out party. The party started, but the stars have not shown up yet. And, you know, like some of the bigger names, they'll make you wait a couple hours before
True.
They actually come out there. And that's what I think is they're building it up. They're building it up. When you look at the fact, I mentioned Cosmopolitan, it is the best-selling young women's magazine in the United States. They call themselves a Bible for fun for the fearless female. 18 million readers, of which 14.4 are women, which means the others are not. And they do stories about the Orgy Dome, or they do the story I mentioned Tuesday night about a brother and sister who fell in love, and you know what it's like to fall in love with your brother. And they were separated for years. They find each other. The brother leaves the wife, goes to live with his sister and her husband in an open polygamous marriage. And Cosmopolitan promoted it as if it was normal, and it was sympathetic they were sympathetic, and you go online and you see that the number one porn high ranking porn sites and topics is this taboo I said was coming next, incest. You remember a couple of years ago I said polygamy and it happened.
I remember.
And now it's, and this just really just makes me want to, you know, burp and gag in my mouth. Sex with parents, children, adults, aunts, uncles, nieces, all this other stuff. That's the number one thing on the internet right now. That's the number one thing in the social groups like Reddit. But yet we ignore the fact that child sexual abuse, whether it was the Catholic priest scandals, Jerry Sandusky at Penn State, Jimmy Savile at the BBC, we say it's okay, but then we don't want to accept the fact that there's a downside to promoting pedophilia and all these bizarre things, which trace back to who? It traces back to the fallen watchers in the days of Noah. So you can't get away from them. You cannot get away from the stories that we know trace back to them. We can't say, oh, it's okay if it's consensual. Well, wait a second. How can a child agree to be violated? They've been brainwashed. They've been, we're seeing it in Hollywood right now, the people that are being outed because they took advantage of it. But then we ignore the fact that every one in three to four girls has been sexually abused before the age of 18. Every one in five to seven boys have been abused before the age of 18. Most of the prostitutes and the sex trade individuals came out of abuse. We have human trafficking, which traces back to what? Sexual abuse. But we want to say, hey, it's okay, let's get the party started. But we don't want to deal with the fact that there is a demonic outcome to all of this.
So as they're ramping up, as you say, when we talk about that those warm-up acts, and each act gets better and better, obviously, as it goes to the main attraction and that main event, you're going to get better ones that come along, you know, on the bill. And we've had some solid ones, obviously, going out. Now, what was hitting me when you were talking is every year there's like a theme, you know, of how we theme everything. I'm wondering now, when you're talking about the sexuality and the incest, which I haven't really done in my research lately on that at all, but by the sounds of it, it's something that's becoming the taboo is now becoming the norm. And like you said,
but that's not. I'll tell you what the next taboo is. Remember, okay. every year I do this. I said I did polygamy and I did incest. The next taboo, right. The next taboo that's going to fall is pedophilia. Right now, there are laws in various parts of the United States being considered to lower the age of consent to 13 to accommodate the Muslims that are coming into America with child brides. They're trying to accommodate this campaign of love is love. So if this man loves this young boy and this young boy loves him, why shouldn't they be allowed to act upon that love? Forgive me if this doesn't sound very spiritual, but I want to act on the side of your face because you want to do something to that little boy. It's just so offensive to me. It hurts my spirit because I have ministered to women and young ladies and even boys who have been molested, who have been victimized, who have been taken advantage of by authority figures. And there's no doubt in my mind, and hopefully this doesn't get us kicked off the air, that it is demonic. There is no doubt in my mind that beyond the numerous psychologists that call it a mental illness and that are fighting these laws, there's parts of Europe that are getting ready to enact those laws. They're going to happen because they have now a society full of people that believe that the marriage and the pedophilia is acceptable. It's a part of their religion. You see, the fallen have been really good at their game. And the people that are being made to be the enemies are those of us that don't want to play. So what I see for 2018, to get back to your point, is probably us finding our own way to broadcast, because I think 2018 is going to be in the face of the fallen. I'm not, you know, when I say the idea came to me today, and ministries have done it. They have bought a plot of land, and they've gone and they've ministered, and there was a documentary about it, and they weren't very effective, but they just went in there in a total, we're going to love you and accept you for who you are. Well, how about we go in there, and we set up shop. We don't bother anybody. We don't confront anybody, but we make everything in the dark come out and play and show them what they're really dealing with. You know what I think would happen? I think a very small percentage would be scared and want help. I think the rest would applaud the spirits and the demons and the fallen angels that got exposed. Now, how's that for a mind blower?
Well, that's a mind blower in itself. And what's scaring me is that theme that we talk about is every year there's something new. But when you talk about pedophiling and you know, I mean, look, we hit the point with the same-sex marriages. We talked about the transsexuals. I mean, we've had all those shows where we've talked about those topics, but this is a whole nother realm. When you start getting into it being accepted that brother and sister can be in love with each other, and mother and, you know, mother and son, father and daughter, when you start going into that, there cannot be, listen, there's no justification to me that you could say I fell in love with my mother or my father or my brother or sister.
There's one family right now, a mother, a son, and a daughter that were separated because the marriage broke up, that found each other, that are all going to jail. You know why they're going to jail? Because they got married to each other.
Wow. That's just beyond crazy. Now, what scared me even more, as you were just saying, when you start going into the pedophiling and the children and the prostitution and making the ages younger, like, what I can't even fathom is how somebody could sit there and watch a porno movie of young kids. I mean, now we're going into what we talked about, you know, Occultoberfest. When we talked about Stephen King's It, right. We talked about him writing about that, an orgy between young children. I can't even fathom.
All you have to do is turn on TV. All you have to do is turn on ABC's Freeform or CW, not so much, but on the cable network. All you have to do is turn on these young teen shows where these kids as young as 12 and 13 are doing stuff, and they're showing parents letting boyfriend and girlfriend sleep over. Oh, it's okay. Well, we are brainwashing a subset of our society. This is the fallen. I don't want to run out of time here. The fallen is so brilliant in how they played this out. They need to roll back everything to the way it was before they got put into the pit, so that when they get out of prison, they step right back into the positions of power, the positions of worship, and everything they did. And what I said about, you know, if we exposed everything going on in Burning Man, those people would applaud them. That's what they're going to do to these people. That's what they're going to do to these demons. That's what they're going to do to the fallen that are coming out of the pit. They're going to cheer these guys. They're going to not just worship them. It's going to go back to the way it was that caused God to flood the whole planet. This time he's going to burn it down. So, you know, get ready for 2018. I'm not sure how much more in the face we can be. But, you know, to finish out that point, the very people right now that are reeling from the sex scandals is Hollywood. But that stuff's been going on for 40 years. I got in the business in 79, and I knew about it. And I've read all the books on the history of Hollywood. Hollywood Babylon is that one book was. You go back to the 20s and the 30s, and this has been going on for decades. And they've hung out a couple of powerless guys that don't have the money to stop it. But the very industry that is trying to clean itself up is the one that's promoting the very thing they're trying to clean up. I mean, if that's not the height of sleight of hand, I don't know what is.
So when the Fallen come on the scene, what I'm gathering now is they're not going to be feared so much as they're going to be revered. They're going to be looked upon as the gods, and they're going to eat it up. They're not going to, like when you think of movies, you know, when you think of watching like movies where you've got the person trying to sell out to build points with the bad guy and the demon. And then all of a sudden, you know, it fulfills all the promises to the demon. The demon turns all around and kills it and destroys the person.
That will happen in the second half of the tribulation. The first half, they're going to be cheered. The Christian, first of all, I believe the church will be gone. But let me drop this bombshell on you. We'll talk about it next time. There's a TV series called The Gifted, which is an offshoot of the whole X-Men mutant universe. X-Men are gone. These young kids have these mutant powers. The government's trying to arrest them and harass them because they're different. I had this light bulb moment the other night. I didn't share it with you. I wanted to save it. We have always said that this was an indoctrination to get us to accept the gifted as okay because of these demonic powers. What if all of these movies where the government's trying to shut them down, what if it's a reverse indoctrination? What if the enemy is preparing the world to turn on spirit-filled Christians that begin to move in the signs and wonders that are prophesied for the last days?
Wow. I never really looked upon. Wow.
It hit me the other night as I was watching it, and I turned to my wife and I said, I never saw this before, but this is an indoctrination against anybody that moves in power to stand against those in position of authority, because the people in position of authority are going to be serving the Fallen, right? So the ones exactly. that would be standing against them with those gifts can only be the spirit-filled Christians that move in the signs and the wonders. We're being set up for being the mutants. We're being set up for being the bad guy.
Wow, I never looked at it that way. That just hit me. I'll take that to bed tonight, and I won't be able to sleep.
When it hit me, and I began to see it, I went, oh my gosh, you guys are diabolically brilliant. See, I actually had a dream, and we may have to go over. We didn't go last week, so I don't care if we go over. I was in Los Angeles, so it was 20 years ago. I was out there helping somebody produce a video, and I was there for a month. And I had a dream where I was sitting in an outdoor cafe that was either New York or Atlanta, and this woman at the table began to manifest, and I couldn't take it anymore. And I just simply extended my hand and said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And she spewed out this demon. And you know what happened? It caused a riot. Those people wanted to kill me. And I woke up from that, and there was a series of other dreams that piggybacked off of that, and it shook me. And I realized what the Lord was showing me. The time would come that the things I do and that we do against the kingdom of darkness will make us the villains, will make us the bad guys. And that tied into that revelation the other night watching The Gifted.
Well, I never really, you know, that's something I didn't even see coming when you were talking about that, where we are looked upon as the mutants. That will be the theme for me for the next few days, absorbing that. Because that's, you know, you don't think of it that way, you know, when you think of us as the opposite.
We're the good guys, but we're not.
We're the good guys.
We're not.
But they're that's the good guys.
Right.
Wow. Boom.
Right. Well, doesn't that tie in with the Midian thing from Clive Barker?
I was just going to say it. Series? The Midians, the Clive Barker. I know exactly what you're going to say. And that TV show, I'm sure that series will come out at the right time. I have a feeling it'll come out just at the most fitting time to introduce that now as being accepted. Wow.
That'll be 2018. I'm guaranteeing you, brother, it's going to flip it. They're coming out, and we're the bad guys. And, you know, my response to that is the same thing I say everywhere we go. Bring it on. Closing thoughts.
Closing thoughts is, bring it on. Closing thoughts is,
game on.
My closing thoughts is, I have a lot of little light bulbs and explosions to take in by tonight's show, but that was really a major revelation to me. And I think what I take with me now is what we segued at the beginning of the show when we talk about how we've been so amped up and concentrating and being walking more in the spirit than we are in the flesh, and that desire to want to do that. And I believe now is our desire to and passion to want to do that is not because of so much, you know, that we want to just continue. What we're actually being called to do it because the end times are coming. That to me was almost like it. That is the beginning of the end. We're gravitating to that because our spirit knows what's going to happen. And the fall in 2018, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. Well, we're going to keep shining the light. We got plenty more time before then, but we're gearing up towards exposing some more stuff and getting ready, folks. But the light is on. The things in the darkness are scurrying. And I grew up in New York City, and when you turn the lights on, the roaches run. And that's how I see the enemy. The light's on, and they're going to run. It may not be easy. It may not be comfortable. I'm also believing the benefactor or benefactors are going to come forward to fully fund what we're doing, and the SRT is going to go global. So you pray about that. If you want to support us, go to firefalltalkradio.com, supernaturalresponse.net. But we're leaving the light on. I'm Richard Gunn. I'm half of Joe Citrone. This has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.